me off. Oh, Pa. Look what you done, done, baby. Tears falling down like rain. What you done, done, baby? Tears falling down like rain. I told you not to do it once, baby. Went and did it again. Thank you.
listening to Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area, and also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with my co-host, Adam Pelche. And we're playing the music of Wayne Kramer, MC5, Wayne Kramer, and just showing and talking about his influence and music.
You know, there's a lot of biography to get to, and we're going to touch upon that in this segment, but we are going to call back what we heard. We actually ended off with some very rare tracks from Wayne Kramer and the MC5. We heard a rendition of Motor City Burning, a very bluesy, much more methodical version of that, almost reminding me of John Lee Hooker.
Yes, and I typed that wrong. It's Motor City is Burning. But yes, so one of the last... So the MC5 kind of... They stopped playing. They split up in 72. But they were in the UK. They were in Europe. And they did a few things. They did a soundtrack for a movie called Gold. We're going to hear one of those songs later on. That's the last studio thing they did. But they also did a live performance on TV in, I believe, France. But it's live in the studio... Harrowville Castle. It was in March of 1972. Many bootlegs have been put out about this, usually just called Thunder Express. So they did 6 live tracks, and they also had a different bass player at this time. Michael Davis left. They had a different bassist. Steve Morehouse was on bass. But anyways, they played these 6 tracks. And this version of Motor City is Burning. It's just very simmering. It's different than the other one. More bluesy, you're right. Really great. And we're actually going to hear the title track, an unreleased track that I would find out about later when they put it on the Big Bang Greatest Hits compilation, Thunder Express, which is just about cars and car culture. Very fitting being due to the fact that they're from Detroit.
And that they're called the Motor City Five.
Right. Yeah. And we heard a lot of really cool stuff in this set. What did we hear before that?
A very lo-fi track from an album called Breakout 66. We heard Look What You've Done. And these were recordings that took place between 65 and 66. And these were actually a series of recordings compiled by Wayne Kramer, showcasing the very earliest stage of the MC5 as they were developing as a band.
Yeah, and they're all kind of like bootleg but decent quality live recordings that were clearly done by people in the audience or someone else. And anyways, this is a really cool song, an original that they had in the early days, a bluesy track. Prior to that, we heard another Wayne Kramer original from the MC5 played, of course, but he is credited as this song on High Time, their last album in 71, called Poison.
A fantastic song that he would re-record a couple times throughout his solo career. Prior to that, we heard a track that wound up on USA, you know, back in the USA. But yeah. This was a different version from a compilation record titled Babes in Arms, an alternative version, a little bit boozier version of Tonight.
Yeah, I believe it's the same take, but it was remixed by Wayne Kramer. And originally when they had the song, there was an intro, which they cut on the record, maybe for time constraints, but the intro was restored for this, and there was a remix. You hear a little bit more guitar in it. I just thought it would be cool to play an alternate version of that. And speaking of alternate versions, it is really cool to play a different version of Kick Out the Jams.
It's really awesome to be able to play Kick Out the Jams in general.
Yes. So we heard the single version from 1969, which was never repressed to my knowledge. MC5 recorded 2 nights, October 30th and 31st at the Grandy Ballroom for their Kick Out the Jams album. But the single version is different. And apparently it was recorded at their rehearsal while they were setting up the equipment. And that's the take that you heard there. And we're going to kind of transition next into some Wayne Kramer solo work. Talk a little bit about Wayne Kramer after the MC5, what he did.
Yeah, and we did mention there was this break. The dissolution of the band happened due to a number of factors. There was definitely drug-related issues, intra-band tension, and also government oppression. We did mention earlier on how they were very socially active in the political realm, and they were part of the satellite group called the White Panthers, which were basically a surrogate group of the Black Panthers that would proliferate information about the group to white neighborhoods and venues that oftentimes members of the Black Panthers would be excluded from or not allowed into. Now, with that said, they were basically viewed as part of a terrorist organization, so the U.S. government actually surveilled them and blacklisted them, for lack of a better term, for years and years. inevitably that this led to him just not really being able to find work outside of music. And after the dissolution of the MC5, without any other options, he pretty much entered into a life of crime. And he was in prison for, I believe it was 4 years?
Yeah. So, but things changed after that.
Oh, radically, yes.
And he, you know, and the music of MC5, Winkler was always anti-establishment, left-leaning, talked about a lot of issues that other people weren't talking about. Mm-hmm. And that was a constant throughout his life. So after, when he started doing music again, we played a couple of the bands he played with, but he also did some solo work.
That's right. So with the solo work, it's really interesting to think of, despite having this incredible discography, he did not actually make a solo record until 1991. But up until then, it wasn't for a lack of effort. There were a number of singles and like flash-in-the-pan recording sessions that were committed, including what we're going to play of in this set. We're going to play a number of singles released during different years, and it seems like Wayne Kramer was always just a few years behind the bands that he influenced. As we're going to hear on these singles, he definitely seemed to be very appropriate for the punk scenes that were rising, the new wave scenes, and yet he always just fell short a little bit. Maybe just coming a year or two thereafter, not being on a label of these caliber of, let's say, Elektra, for example, to release the type of music he was doing. And inevitably, it seemed like he wasn't going to do anything else until 1991, where a lot of these recordings were compiled and re-recorded on a 1991 album. And that album was not the best received. It was called Death Tongue, and yeah, it was from Curio Records. Even Wayne Kramer himself said, I didn't really feel like this was really my solo debut. His solo debut, as he said, done right, would be released on Epitaph Records that would house him for most of his life thereafter with The Hard Stuff, this great autobiographical, hard-hitting record that sounds very much of the time of a guitar-driven 1995 record, but at the same time has so many great narratives and stories of this rough upbringing and his life getting just really the most destitute and I guess you could say soul-crushing experiences that you could imagine someone going through and yet persevering and exceeding through it. To me, Wayne Kramer, more than just being an exceptional guitar player, is kind of a hero just to persevere through everything he experienced. And we're going to hear kind of that as we go in through this next set.
Yes, and before we do, I just also wanted to mention, highly, highly, highly recommended Wayne Kramer's autobiography, The Hard Stuff, also titled The Hard Stuff. Really great, and I just can't recommend it enough. It's a fantastic book, and it's really quite revealing as well. You thought you knew everything? Read the book. You'll learn a lot more. But anyways, we're going to get started and talk a little about the tracks after this set. We're going to start off with a track from 78.
From 78. This is not the A-side. He re-recorded Ramblin' Rose as an A-side single. We're going to hear the B-side of this called Get Some before we get into a few more singles and then a track off of The Hard Stuff on this Wayne Kramer tribute edition of Revolution Rock. Yeah.
don't make